Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with the American Muslim Community Foundation, and we are hosting the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast. We have on special guest Rafi Hosseini, who's a regional manager for Helping Hand USA. He's based in Michigan, and he has been nominated as Outstanding Young Professional. Congratulations, and welcome to the show, Rafi.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I appreciate the nomination. It's an honor, and it's a pleasure to be here with you, Muhi.
Yeah, of course. So why don't you go ahead and tell everyone a little bit more about yourself and kind of how you got started at Helping Hand?
Sure. So just to give a brief background, I'm not from the U.S. or Canada or North America at all. I was born and raised in Abu Dhabi, and I'm from India back home, but I was born and raised in Abu Dhabi. And then when I moved to Canada in 2012 for my higher education, in 2015, me and my family moved to the U.S. And I was studying there until the summer of 2016. I had volunteered with ICNA before. I had worked with ICNA in different projects in a small capacity. Again, completely new to this fundraising nonprofit stuff. But then in summer of 2016, they wanted, I got an opportunity with Helping Hand to work with them to see what it was. You know, and when I came to Helping Hand, it was a completely new area for me. I didn't know what fundraising was, never seen that before. In Abu Dhabi, like, it's all government owned. They take care of everything. And the only nonprofit I knew was Red Cross, which you've been a part of it as mm-hmm. well. So that's how it kind of started off for me.
That's really great. And, you know, it's interesting because you and I are also classmates in a Indiana University course on Islam and philanthropy. And we get to see how Islam has influenced philanthropy in countries in the Middle East and South Asia and here in the United States. So you've actually have lived experience of how the government structure provided basic needs and other things like that. And then coming to Canada and the United States, seeing how philanthropy kind of fills the gap where the government falls short. So in terms of just kind of working at Helping Hand and seeing the organization grow over the years, what are some of the things that you've noticed working as a regional manager?
So one thing I really noticed, like, how there's a dire need, not the need to help people, but the need for people in the U.S. to give. You know, like, as you mentioned, in the Middle East, you don't see that much. You see a Red Cross, and I've only known Red Cross because all I knew was they would collect clothes or take blood donations, right? Mm-hmm. But when I came to the U.S., I was like, there's a lot more that goes into it. And that put into perspective for me that, you know, Helping Hand or any other organization that is growing, the way they're growing is because they are doing the work that we only think about. Or we always watch on TV that you have these kids in Africa that are starving, but you find this bunch of nonprofits is helping them. And now being in the back end of it, it gave me a full perspective to, like, how much work goes into it.
Yeah, and you know, AMCF has some donors that have sponsored orphans at Helping Hand and other projects as well. So tell us a little bit more about the work that Helping Hand does across the world.
So we have we work in more than 50 countries. We have a lot of projects. Our major projects are Water for Life, building microhomes, working with refugees, orphan support, and our orphan support is probably one of the most unique programs that we have, which is in multiple countries around the world. You know, you get to, if you want to sponsor an orphan, you get to select the child, you get a regular report. And then we work with refugees pretty much where we can. For example, we work with Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh. We work with Yemeni refugees in Djibouti. We work with a large number of Palestinian and Syrian refugees in Jordan and Lebanon as well. They're like some of our projects that are most highlighted.
And then in terms of the region that you cover and how Helping Hand is broken down into either regions or zones, tell us a little bit more about how Helping Hand operates in the United States.
Well, Helping Hand operates in a very, like, a non-traditional way. There are about 17 or 18 offices, but then you would find that there are a lot of, like, sub-states that have their own target, their own staff. And there's certain states where a majority of the staff covers, like, three different states. For example, for myself, in Michigan, we have a team of three people. We cover Ohio, Michigan, and Kentucky. But then you have NorCal and SoCal, or you have, like, each member has their own staff member. And then these are divided into three different zones, where you have the East Zone, which is the East Coast, the West Zone, the West Coast, and the Central Zone, which is the central coast, you could say.
And then typically, how much is Helping Hand raising on an annual basis?
We are a $40 million organization as of right now. And we've with in kind, I think comes about additional 10, I believe 10 or 20, but we are about 40, close to 40 million.
That's really big. And in terms of the region that you oversee, how much of that goes into the 40 million about?
2 million almost. If I put exact, probably 1.8, but about 2 million.
So really you're helping the organization in a meaningful way. I know the National Staff Headquarters is in Michigan as well.
Southfield.
Knowing the leadership firsthand and having grown up in the Michigan community, know a lot of the people that are part of the organization. But what's really phenomenal is like how you've been able to have different chapters, have different regions and zones all across the country supporting the work that Helping Hand is doing as well. So I'm sure that's a very significant part of the success and the growth of Helping Hand.
Of course, definitely. And we've been here 15 years now, and that's a tremendous growth that we've had over the 15 years. I would even say a quick growth as well, when compared to other nonprofits and the amount of staff we have. A lot of it is because what I would say is kind of unique for us is the dedication and the environment that we have that we put in with our staff. It's a very friendly environment. Our staff loves the work that we do. And the biggest thing, the way we grow is we're always looking for opportunity to, I would say, penetrate new communities, new ideas, even the smallest masajids. We just want to make sure that they know that there's an organization like Helping Hand that can help them, get their money where it's needed.
All right, and tell us about, maybe the first year of you working with Helping Hand to today. Obviously, the environment has changed with COVID-19, but tell us what some of those growing points have been for the organization.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things is that at Helping Hand, everyone wears multiple hats. I may be a fundraiser, but at the same time, I'm a public speaker and presentation as well. I'm also someone who's doing an outreach. I'm also someone who's trying to help on the back end as well. So in the first year, from what I vaguely remember, is I was struggling. I had like a major event coming, and I was struggling to make sure. And this is my first time doing it. And of course, I had guidance. I had the support of my team. I had back then with Brother Shahid Hayat. He was my supervisor. He helped me a lot. But at the end of the day, I always had to make sure that when I'm making the decision, it has to be something that's impactful. That's right. So I had to make sure that I had all the areas covered. I'm not forgetting anything. I'm going back and forth. And that was for me, I would say that was my learning phase where I knew, okay, now this is what goes into planning a proper event, planning a proper solicitation, planning a proper Jummah khutbah. Even a smallest thing requires some amount of planning. You can't just wake up and be like, hey, today I'm gonna go collect $100,000. And then if you fast forward today, of course, there's everything's laid out. I'm low with experience. I learn everything. It's a lot easier now. I have a team that helps me now. And with this COVID-19, we were actually, I would say, overall organization-wide, everyone was working in a way that they hadn't expected before. Everyone was working odd hours. For example, Ramadan itself, like most of our staff, we were just working like either we were responding to some stuff after Fajr, we were doing a Quran event after Tarawih, we have to like finish our iftar quick, get on board with the StreamYard, we have some fundraiser going on. So it was very adaptive, I would say, and then so putting that first into perspective, and then coming now 4 or 5 years later and learning something new was a very eye-opening and a experience that actually like kept me in the learning process.
And obviously this category is for young professionals. So in terms of your future career, do you feel like this nonprofit area is something that you want to stick with? I know you're getting some certifications and other things like that. So tell us a little bit more about kind of where you see or where you want your future career to grow.
Sure. I mean, again, this would always, I would always bring it back to like how this is all new to me when I first came into it. So of course, when I first got out of college, it's a good job. It's nonprofit. It's good work. You're doing the work of God. You're getting paid. Hey, there's nothing better. But as the years pass by and I realize like the amount of work that I'm doing, it's very select few, in the nonprofit world that do the work that we all are doing. And I'm saying that if there's something that I can do to make a difference, then why not find ways to make it better? And as you mentioned, the certification, I'm currently completing my CFRE from Lilly School of Philanthropy. That's the CMP, Central Muslim Philanthropy from Lilly School of Philanthropy. And we're already in the class for the master's program as well. So it's more for me at this point is more about learning and applying new methods, which is more efficient in helping the beneficiaries that we are already helping.
Right, that's great. So is there anything else that you want to share with us as well that maybe we
Oh,
didn't cover?
I think we covered pretty much of it, but one thing I would really say that for me, it has really, really been an eye-opening thing over the past 4 years. Like every year, something new comes up. There's always a conflict in my mind that, am I doing enough? Is my intention right? Am I doing it for the right intention? Because
Sure.
there's you can always be swayed by your career paths, oh, your salary, your growth, and all that. But at the end of the day, if you're getting all those things and your intention is not being checked, then that whole aspect of doing it for the sake of Allah is such a big factor, so I think it's a
Right.
very it's I think I would say I'm probably blessed to be in this opportunity in this field that I'm able to help people when they need the help. So that's a really beautiful thing that I'm part of.
Yeah, definitely. And kudos to you on, everything that you're doing, personally and professionally with development as a whole. And really grateful to see you in this position. And congratulations again on the nomination.
Thank you so much again. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Take care.